Recording, we're recording. Excellent. Okay, so welcome to everyone in the room and also to those who join us online. This meeting, which is a cabinet meeting on the 10th of March 2020, this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. In addition, under the local authorities, executive arrangements, meetings and access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. So, first off this evening, item one, we have apologies. Councillor Rawlings is on holiday, much as we're all very envious, but he has sent his apologies. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Has any member got any interest to declare? No, absolutely nobody. Okay, we move on to item three, leaders' announcements. This evening I have no announcements. So we're now on to item four, minutes of the previous meeting. That meeting was the 10th of February 2022 in this room where we got a little bit chilled. So has anyone got any comments on the minutes? No, everyone's happy with those?
Yeah.
You want that? I know. Unfortunately, other horrible things happened to you.
Apologies, Councillor. I know, we're all galloping.
I know, I'm trying to. So, now we're on to item five, questions under cabinet procedure 10.7. No questions were submitted. So we're now on to the main items of the meeting. Item six, which is Active Together Physical Activity Framework 2022-31. There was a Scrutiny Commission report. I joined the Scrutiny Commission and Councillor Ransom's up there. And so I listened to the discussion on that item along with some of the others. So I'm going to invite Councillor Ransom to present the Scrutiny Commission report. We'll then have any questions of clarity to Councillor Ransom on her report before we move on to presentation and discussion of it. So over to you, Councillor Ransom.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ransom. I'm used to it, but it was a penny behind her in the bank, I'll be fine. But the fact is, yes, we had a very in-depth discussion on your Active Together Physical Activity Framework for 2022-31. And I believe you have got the report, the Cabinet's got the report in front of you. And I believe we've actually said yes, we agree with all the recommendations and the and the actual purpose of the report. Any questions? I will try and answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Okay, are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to raise? No questions of clarity. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to ask at this point. We've got Julie Robinson, who's our head of neighbourhood services, online to assist. As usual, we'll take all the reports as read, but if I can ask our lead member, Councillor Harper-Davis, to say a few words, to pick out any sort of points before we actually move on to the general discussion. So over to you, Councillor.
Thank you, Leader. The Council's Corporate Strategy 2020 to 2024, through its key theme of healthy communities, makes a commitment to healthy and happy residents, and to provide high quality leisure facilities and sport activities for people and offer services to improve well-being either directly or with our partners. The purpose of the Cabinet report is to seek Cabinet's endorsement of the framework and a commitment to the aforementioned. The 10-year framework aims to widen access and opportunity for physical activity and increase participation levels. The framework sets out the key values, principles and priorities necessary to raise physical activity levels and is a call to action for all partners to think differently, share responsibility and to take a collaborative approach. It also focuses on targeting resources to local communities and residents who face the greatest barriers to being active and that may suffer inequality in accessing opportunities to engage in physical activity and sport. There are no financial implications for the Council in endorsing this framework, and it is the intention that all councils in Leicestershire, Leicester, Rutland formally endorse the framework through their own governance structures, and other councils are in the process of doing just this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Julie, you're online as well. Are there any additional points that you wish to raise or flag about the report before we go into general discussion or any questions?
No thanks, leader.
Okay, thank you very much. As Councillor Harper-Davies set out, this is a framework that we're adopting across all of the districts and Rutland and the city as well. So this is a pretty sort of standard report as far as all the councils will be receiving the same information and document. So hopefully we can then sort of go on together once all of us have adopted it. Are there any questions or points anyone wishes to raise? Councillor Albrecht.
Just a very brief point really, just on how accessible the schemes are when they get going. So I actually took part in a scheme 4 years ago which got me back into playing netball, which I hadn't played for 20 years. And it was an Active Together under the previous name scheme that got me into it. And I'm embarrassed to say that's why I'm injured currently. But I play every week now and have done for the last 3 or 4 years. And it's one of these schemes that got me going. So very supportive of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Demonstrates community involvement, even if it doesn't necessarily revolve around.
Yeah, and just want to reach communities as well, which is as important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, look, thank you very much. Are there any other comments that anyone... No other comments. So look, back to you, Councillor Harper-Davies, if you want to sum up and make the proposal.
Thank you very much, leader. So the purpose of the report has been mentioned, the recommendation that Active Together Physical Activity Framework 2022 to 2031, attached as our appendix we've seen, is adopted by the Council as our key delivery partner, and the reason is to provide Active Together with evidence of the Council's support and commitment to the principles set out in the 10-year framework.
Thank you very much. And noting the Scrutiny Commission recommendation, and would you like to second, Councillor Albrecht?
Yeah, very happy to second this.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Excellent. Thank you. So that's approved. We're now on to item 7, which is the Housing Capital Programme for 2022-23. We have Peter Oliver online. I can see Peter, who's our Head of Landlord Services, to assist. But I'm going to pass over to Councillor Poland now. If you can introduce the paper before we go over to Peter and then general discussion.
Very happy to, leader. Each year, the Cabinet approves an investment programme for the housing stock. The programme has been shaped to reflect the priorities outlined in the HRA business plan, the asset management strategy framework, and the views of tenants. Delivery this year has been limited due to the contract with Fortum Solutions coming to an end, compounded by the previous year of limited delivery due to COVID-19 related issues. Consequently, there will be a peak in work over the next 2 years, particularly in respect to kitchens and standard bathrooms where the programmes are already large. Some smoothing of the programme will therefore be necessary to support effective control of the works, with 200 kitchens and 200 bathrooms completed in the year 2022-23, rather than 388 and 422 units completed respectively. Positively, the delivery position for the forthcoming financial year is expected to be different to that from recent years. Rather than having one contractor delivering kitchens, bathrooms and heating work streams, there will be three. PH Jones have been appointed to deliver the new heating installations, whilst level access showers will be delivered by a dedicated adaptions contractor, and the kitchens and standard bathrooms delivered by a further contractor. A procurement process is for replacement contractors is in progress. The council's available housing stock has reduced due to the sale of properties under the right to buy. A sum of 1.5 million has therefore been included in the programme to acquire more properties to meet a substantial housing need. Fire safety works following recommendations arising from fire risk assessments will continue, alongside the replacement of front doors where necessary on a prioritised basis. A sum has been included to undertake a stock condition survey and an energy study, along with a validation of the HRA business plan and development of the asset management strategy in line with an asset management strategy framework, which was approved by Cabinet on the 10th of February this year. So the Housing Management Advisory Board, HMAB, has been consulted on this, and it was resolved that the board endorsed the approach to delivering the 2022-23 and 20 capital programme as set out in the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Poland. So Peter Oliver, is there anything else that you want to add in addition to that?
No, thank you, Leo.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. It's a very, very clear report, and also thank you very much, Councillor Pollard, for the further explanation. Are there any points that anyone wishes to raise in the form of questions or general debate? I think the report is extremely clear.
Yeah.
Given where we are, it's good to actually get back to bring bathrooms and kitchens, particularly to the tune of the sum that we're talking about in the paper. It's a considerable sum, and hopefully will be the benefit to residents in our housing. So no questions in that case, I can see. So back to you, Councillor Poland, if you'd like to make the proposal.
Yeah, very happy to, Leader. I move the recommendation on page 42 for the reason on page 42.
Thank you very much. And Councillor Barclay, if I can ask you to second.
I'm happy to second that, Leader.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Peter, as well. So, we now move on to item 8, which is the local development scheme for 2022. We have Richard Bennett, who's our head of planning and regeneration. We also have, now, Carol, you're going to have to help me. I know you're online. As you have already heard, I am abysmal at surnames. Are you there, Carol?
Leader, it's pronounced Jakubczyk.
Yeah, this is going to cause me huge amounts of problems. I have Councillor Smidovich in the room who I consistently got wrong for even longer. So this is going to absolutely go. I'm going to call you Carol. Thank you very much, Carol, for that. You're both of you are here, and you're group leader, plans, policy, and placemaking. So look, thank you very much to Rich and Carol for joining us. I'm going to pass over to Councillor Bailey to make an introduction on this report before we move to any general discussion.
Thank you, Leader. This is a statutory requirement that we need to produce the LDS to show a three-year programme for the preparation of the local development documents. It's a useful way of putting those key milestones out into the public domain as well, so residents and communities will see that in a straightforward timetable. It also sets out the commitment for the council in preparing their local planning documents. This year's LDS reflects that the local plan has now been submitted to the Secretary of State for examination and highlights that the hearing programmed for the end of June and into July with the expectation that the inspector will publish their report in October and then hopefully the council will adopt towards the end of this year, beginning of 2023. It also signals the commencement of two supplementary planning documents, one for housing and the other for biodiversity net gain. And these documents will provide further guidance and explanation for policies in the local plan.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a good summary. So, Rich and Carol, are there any other additional points that you wish to raise about the item? Yeah, Richard, your lips are moving, but I can't hear anything.
It's that pesky mute button.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
Leader, just to say that Councillor Bailey summarised the report very well there. I've nothing further to add.
Okay, thank you very much. Carol, are you happy with that as well?
I have nothing further to add, Leader.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to both of you. Are there any points that anyone wishes to raise or any points of discussion? This is an item that we see every single year, as Councillor Bailey absolutely set out. The report summarises very, very clearly what's expected for the coming year. Obviously, we have, as Councillor Bailey set out, a significant item in the form of the local plan, which is going to be a focal point for the year, but also obviously additional items as well. So are there any points of discussion or queries that anyone wishes to raise? No? Okay, I can't see any hands, so thank you very much. Back to you, Councillor Bailey, if you'd like to make the proposal, and then we'll go for a second.
Thank you, Leader. I move that recommendations 1 to 3, for reasons 1 to 3, on page 51 be approved.
Thank you very much. And Councillor Harper-Davis, are you happy to second?
Yes, I'm happy to second, Leader.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we now move on to item 9, which is the private sector housing licensing schemes, plural, which has a scrutiny commission report. So at this point, I'm going to go over to Councillor Ransom, who's going to give the Scrutiny Commission's report. Over to you, Councillor.
Thank you very much, Leader. This was very much in depth discussed, and we've actually decided we'd go for it, and it was a very purposeful, meaning discussion. So on the actual private sector housing licence, the purposes of the report and recommendations. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and having listened to the discussion, I absolutely agree with you. The very good debating points raised, but a very, very positive discussion as well. So I'm going to go over to Councillor Mercer at this point, who will give an introduction. We also have, obviously, Alison Simmons, who's our Head of Strategic and Private Sector Housing, here to assist with the report. But over to you, Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Leader. I think this is the last time that this will be brought to Cabinet, but it's been a useful exercise in rehearsing the case and fine-tuning the arguments. It's a policy which has the unanimous support of all 52 councillors, and some of them are landlords themselves who are likely to be affected by it, and I think that's an added vote of confidence in the scheme. One of the main issues that was raised at scrutiny was ASB, and hopefully this is an issue which licensing will address. Another one was at the back of it was the risk of a legal challenge, and we've put a lot of effort into making sure that the policy is legally watertight, and it's been fine-tuned over the last few months, just to make sure that every loophole is been blocked. We've actually had twice as many we were supposed to have a consultation exercise. We've actually had two consultation exercises, and they showed that not only was there overwhelming support from residents, but even from some landlords actually supported it. And it was quite revealing, the second one, because it revealed that although the landlords had constantly been telling us we're so responsible, we don't need these schemes, many of them questioned whether we should actually enforce fire safety or security or rodent control. And some of the landlords even said, well, why should we ask for references from our tenants? It'd be accompanied by a communication strategy to make sure everybody's fully aware. And finally, it's had the very strong backing of the former Vice Chancellor, who on a number of occasions said to me that his big fear was that one of these packed, unlicensed, illegal HMOs would actually catch fire and students would die. And we did have an incident of a fire in an HMO a couple of years ago, which fortunately didn't cause any problems, but it certainly undermined the danger, and this is one of the big issues that these schemes will address. So on that basis, I would like to put it to Cabinet.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Mercer, which reminds me, I should have declared I am a trustee of a trust which does hold a property in one of the areas that included, so I'm not a recipient, it's not a discretionary or pecuniary interest, by the way, but I should have raised that because I have raised it at the previous meeting, so thank you very much for reminding me. Alison, are there any other points that you wish to raise in addition to those that Councillor Mercer has introduced?
Nothing in relation to the presentation, but just a note on page 96 that the wrong label's been placed against the maps of the two wards, and this will be amended before the policy is published.
Okay, thank you very much. And also in relation to the existing wards, is the very good point that was raised, obviously, at Scrutiny Commission, which is that because of the boundary reviews, the wards' names themselves will become redundant because actually you're listing individual streets, and therefore it's the streets that are actually going to form part of the area. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We can't add to the designation or remove any properties from the designation. It'll be those that are included on the list that will be on the council's website.
Okay, excellent. Great. Right, so are there any points for discussion? Councillor Rackway, you have a point to raise.
Yeah, it's a point of clarity, I guess. I'm really clear over what happens if you're a professional landlord, but I'm not clear on what happens if you're what I would class as like an unintended landlord. So you own a property, you've got friends whose relationship's broken down. I'm just going to give you an example of kind of where I feel it sits. And one of them moves in with you, potentially on a temporary basis, but you don't really know how long they're actually staying. So there's then three of you, it's two households. Where does that fall into this? Does that class as an HMO, and if so, is licensing required? If it's temporary, where does the temporary then become permanent? I guess kind of where I'm sort of leading with this is also what happens possibly with the Ukraine scheme, if people were asked to offer up a room and sponsor a family, where does that fall within this scheme as well?
Okay, very good question. Alison.
Okay, in relation to the houses in multiple occupation scheme, that will be for any property that's occupied by three or four unrelated people. So in your scenario, that would not be included. I would class the scenarios that you're suggesting as lodgers rather than an occupancy in relation to a private let. So I don't think they would fall under either of the schemes, but we would have to look at it on a case-by-case basis in accordance with what part of a property is being let to them. So I think it's more to do with the fact that whether they're self-contained, but if somebody's just coming to move in with you, it would be classed as a lodger.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much. That's good. Are there any other points? Councillor Smitherwich.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Alison. It's been an interesting exercise, but I was quite surprised yesterday to read in the paper as well about, they're calling it by stealth, landlords face a stealth tax, but homes let by bedroom, which I'm assuming are the ones where you'd also have a lock on the door, will be classed as multiple properties with councils looking to boost income. I don't think that's entirely fair, they're looking to boost income. But I am quite intrigued because I know that a number of properties have locks on a bedroom door and they get benefit for being a flat. So if we have an HMO that's rooms with locked doors, evidently what is happening, I think it was Portsmouth that raised all of this, they are being expected, or they are expected, to pay council tax as if it was a property. So I think the figure here was something like if you had £1,000 as a council tax in a property, it would rise to 5,000. So I've got a feeling we might get a little bit of backlash from various landlords, but on the other hand, many of those landlords and the properties are not students which are exempt or who are exempt, but they are a mixture of both students and young professionals and so on. So as long as our system, I think, can account for the adaptation of what each property is, which then brings me to the question of absent landlords. It's been a real bugbear of mine over the years that we have absent landlords. We have telephone numbers for them, but trying to get hold of them has often been difficult. And they should be having managing agents up here that we can also hold accountable. So are we keeping a register of absent landlords, and particularly the ones that are overseas? And my other concern for the future is very much those HMOs that are still coming up by stealth that we don't know about, that we report, and they're not counted in the 20% until they're actually licensed. So we have a skewed figure of the 20%, and that's something that has bothered me for a long time, because we've had an awful lot of certificates for licensing which have gone over the 10 years. So I think it's the day-to-day issues that bother many residents. But I have to say I'm delighted that it's come to us again. And I'm just delighted it's come to us. I'll leave it at that.
So, Alison, I think that there are probably about three sort of separate points in there. So do you want to take each of those?
I think in relation to the council tax, I'll have to steer to Simon in relation to that. I think the other points in relation to the 20%, that's in relation to Article 4 and the amount of HMOs, and that is separate to the licensing scheme. So once a property, if we get a license application, we will check to see if it's got planning permission, or if we're notified of one, we will do that as part of the inquiries. The as said previously at Luckford Scrutiny, from when the mandatory was extended, the number of licensed HMOs went up from 368 to 667. And there is the anticipation with obviously going down to three or four people that it's going to increase even further from that perspective on a borough-wide basis. And the selective license is going to cover the Hastings and Leamington wards. I'm not sure I've really answered your question, but I'm not sure that I can because I need to understand the individual cases. And I'm afraid I can't answer the question about the council tax.
No, I'm quite happy with that. It's just to continue raising of awareness.
I mean, it's an interesting point about the council tax, and I guess it's probably a debating point because I guess it's from one side, it's trying to avoid or trying by putting locks on doors, you're trying to avoid being classed as an HMO. But actually, the alternative is that you end up paying a small fortune in council tax. So. I suspect you know, it's quite a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I suspect from a landlord's perspective, they're better off paying us £150 per year or whatever the equivalent is, rather than paying several thousand pounds in council tax to us. I suspect Simon would probably prefer us to actually pay council tax. But is this something that has been discussed, Simon, as a general point? The issue of landlords trying to avoid houses being defined as an HMO.
I've got to be honest. It's not something that I've heard about from the council tax team.
Okay.
It is always possible. I'm sure the landlords, to be honest, would have worked out that the license will be cheaper than the council tax. I don't think it would take them long to do that. But there are always various schemes. But I'll go back and I'll ask. Question of the team next time.
So, Councillor Smithers has got an article, which I think is it from the Telegraph from today?
Yeah,
or
yesterday's Telegraph. Yesterday.
So, if you can...
Or Monday's Telegraph.
Okay, so maybe would it be possible to leave it with Sally, and then maybe we can put it in Simon's hot desk? Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much for that.
If it's scanned in and I can have a look at it,
that would
be great.
No, that'd be fantastic. If that's okay, so I'd scan it in and email it over to Simon. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, are there any further questions or any points that anyone wishes to raise? Councillor Harper Davis.
Thank you. It's not really a question, but I just think it's been a long time coming.
Yep.
When it was first mooted, goodness knows how many years ago. And it's really nice to sit here this evening and actually endorse it and get it up and running. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge relief, you know, for many reasons. So I'm really pleased it's actually come to the table.
Yep, absolutely. Can I say, I mean, personally, huge amounts of thanks to Councillor Mercer for presenting it this evening. But also, Margaret, huge thanks to you because this is a scheme that I think probably has your name well and truly, a bit like a bit of Blackpool Rock, has your name through the middle of it. So if I can be very, very personal this evening and say, Margaret, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. So, you're all emotional now.
May I say something just before you move on to
yes, please
anyone?
Do.
Just a small correction to recommendation 5 in the report before it's proposed and seconded. It just refers to the lead member for housing and it just needs to state for private housing so it's clear that it's Councillor Mercer and not Councillor Poland, please.
Okay, it would be a surprise to Councillor Poland if you suddenly got a phone call from Alison asking you a detailed question about it. So good trade.
The first surprise is one.
Well, as usual, well done for controlling us. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Councillor Mercer in that case with a slightly amended recommendation. Okay, if you'd like to make a proposal.
I'd like to propose that Cabinet endorse the work completed to date to implement the two new discretionary licensing schemes, that we approve the houses in multiple occupation and selective licensing policies in appendices 1 and 2. That we approve the license conditions for houses in multiple occupation and selective licensing schemes, Appendix 3, HMO licensing scheme licensing conditions, and 4, selective licensing schemes license conditions. Fourthly, that we approve the publication of the public notices for the two designated schemes for 3 months and give delegated authority to the head of strategic and private sector housing for the implementation of the schemes thereafter. And five, that delegated authority be given to the head of strategic and private sector housing in consultation with the lead member for private sector housing, brackets me, to update or make minor amendments to the licensing policies and conditions subject to there being no financial or human resource implications arising from the proposals. For the reasons given in the report.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mercer. And also noting, obviously, the Scrutiny Commission recommendation and discussion points, so thank you very much for those. Councillor Smitherich, would you like to second this?
Yes, I would like to second it very much. But equally, I would like to thank Alison, because I do genuinely realise that it's taken an awful lot of work and she's been doing an awful lot with staff changes and everything else. So I'm both relieved and delighted to support this.
Indeed. I absolutely agree with that. Thank you very much, Alison, particularly as well. So can I see all of those in favour?
Exactly.
That's absolutely everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Alison. And thank you very much, Councillor Mercer and also Councillor Smitherich as well. So we now move on to item 10, which is Annual Procurement Plan 2022-23. We've got Justin Henry, who's our Strategic Director, Commercial Development, Assets and Leisure, and the person with the longest title, to assist with the report. And we have Councillor Barclay, who's going to introduce it.
Thank you, Leader. This is a standard annual report which outlines the contracts that we know about for 22-23, the new financial year. Heads of Services have provided all the information, which is in the appendices to the report. The mainly landlord services contracts, ICT, and cleansing and open spaces. In accordance with procurement rules for Charlton Borough Council, any contracts between 25 and 75 is three quotes, between 75 and 500 is written specification and tendering, and you don't hear anything over 500,000 comes through cabinet. So it is as straightforward as that, and we will get quarterly updates.
Thank you very much. Justin, are there any additional points that you wish to make further to those that Councillor Barclay has just outlined?
No, thank you, Leader. That's fine.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin. So, are there any questions or any points that anyone wishes to raise? This is a, again, it's a pretty standard report, but also exceptionally clear. Councillor Barclay has sent out the points even clearer as well. So, are there any points? I can't see any hands up, so that's great. So, I'm going to go back to Councillor Barclay to make the recommendation.
So, I make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 144. Namely, to for the reasons to allow the contracts of the councils to be let in accordance with the contract procurement rules.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Boker if you'd like to second?
Yes, very happy to second, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. So thank you very much, Justin, for that one as well. I know you're hanging around for another one as well, so we'll come to that eventually. Item 11, Strategic Risk Register for 2022 to 2023. We've got Helen Gretton, who's our Organisational Development Manager, who's online. Welcome, Helen. So I'm going to go to start off with for an opening comments to Councillor Smitherich to open the general panel discussion.
Thank you, Leader. The draft report proposes an updated Strategic Risk Register and an additional refreshed risk management framework, which we hope you will consider and approve to ensure that the corporate and strategic objectives can be achieved. There are now 10 proposed risks on the register, including 5 new identified risks, and numbers 4, 5, 6, 9 and 10 have been expanded. I'm grateful to the officers that the guidance provided is considerably clearer for both our officers and members for both the strategic and operational levels. So in order to ensure that we keep up to date with legislation and change, it would be appropriate that the general authority is given to the Strategic Director of Environment and Corporate Services to make amendments to the risk register where required after appropriate consultation. So for example, we could encounter the Ukraine having an effect, and equally perhaps to recommission the bunker underneath the council. But that's what I would ask you to consider, and I'm sure Helen can answer any questions. I don't know about the bunker, but...
Helen, we're looking for technical information about the filtration system. I'm sure you know the answer to this one. Helen, are there any additional points you want to raise or make?
Thank you, Leader. I'll follow the format of the evening. There's nothing further to add.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, are there any points anyone wishes to raise? I think Councillor Smither has quite rightly mentioned about the adaptability of the register. Things happen that can't always be predicted. The last two or three years, I think, have tested that beyond all reason. But we continue to live in an ever-changing world. And as such, the risks that present to us keep on changing. But hopefully, Helen and team have thought through as many of the likely risks that are going to affect us. But obviously, if those change, then so does the plan.
And of course, the risk of not doing certain things.
And the risk of not doing things as well. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Councillor Mercer.
Can I ask on risk number 7, there's been a significant increase in the number of attacks by hackers on public bodies in the United States using a ransom, as opposed to ransomware attacks, and these are now occurring in the UK. Is that something which we are increasing our security precautions in response to the increased risk? Because obviously something like that could be absolutely totally stop us operating if it happened.
So I will pass over to Helen, but I am aware, because I passed on a note to Councillor Rawlings, who obviously leads on IT. There was a general alert from the government just before the Ukraine crisis in particular kicked off to say that they were expecting a need to actually improve the resilience of all our systems. So Helen, you can probably report on that.
Thank you, Leader. I can try. I'm sure the ICS team will keep abreast of any situations that are happening around the world, and particularly attacks on the UK. We have, in more recent years, upgraded our insurance policy to cover cyber security. So obviously we want to prevent an attack in the first place, but should we get attacked, then we are adequately covered from an insurance perspective.
So, Chief Exec.
Thank you, Leader. So just to add to those points, we have been feeding regular notes from the government and also from the Local Resilience Forum into our ICT team, and on each and every occasion they've assured me that they are aware of those issues prior to getting those notifications and already have some things in place. So I've had very good reassurance so far. That's not to say there aren't always new and emerging threats, but the evidence today shows that they are very much alive to those and are doing what they can to protect the council from such attacks. It might be helpful if it would be useful to you just to get a small note from ICT just on those points, just picking up particularly the ransomware issue, which I'm less familiar with, but it is part of that overall package of defences that, that the ICT team are putting in place to protect the council.
Okay, very good point.
And could I just add, and I think that would be really helpful, but also addressing the fact that we do have a growing number of databases. I mean, the licensing scheme which we've just introduced will be its own system, and all of those are vulnerable to attack, and whether the penalty extends to all of them.
We'd love to put your bedroom when you come down.
Polly, can you keep on mute?
Sorry about that.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good point as well. So, I mean, if it's possible for a quick update, that would be useful. And it may well be that at some point for maybe a briefing, a cabinet level important briefing in the future would be useful. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. All right, okay, we're seeing Simon stripping for action now, which is a good sign, isn't it? Okay, so thank you very much for that. Sorry, okay, it's getting worse. Yeah, let's see. Ten minutes.
Like
so
under
okay, so back to the issue in hand. No further comments or questions. So, Councillor Smither, back to you for a proposal, please.
Yes, so it's proposed that we adopt this the three recommendations as outlined for the three reasons, not one, two, and two, but the three reasons that are outlined in the paper.
Okay, and that's great. That's agenda item page 154. Yeah. So if I can ask Councillor Barclay to second, please.
I'm happy to second the strategic risk strategy.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Right, so we're now on to item 12, which is an exempt information item. This is to propose to exclude members of the public from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. So I'm making that proposal. Councillor Barclay, are you happy to second that?
I'm happy to second that, Leader.
Can I see all of those in favour? That's all of those in favour. Thank you very much.